and that we don't we're out from under that bondage and that fear of paying for our sins and fear of death and all those things that the mortal man would fear. But we know because of you and because of your sacrifice, because of your blood, because of your love and your compassion toward us, that we have eternal life. And from the moment that we trust you for salvation, help me today, fill me with the Spirit of God, and give us a teachable heart today. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. So here Job is in the midst of all his trouble, and still he says this remarkable statement: I know that my Redeemer liveth. And it's important for us to know that. I remember my mama. My mama was saved in a Pentecostal church, and she came to Indiana as a girl, and she started hearing this preaching that she is kept by the power of God unto salvation. And when she understood that was God that does the saving and God that does the keeping, she said it was like the biggest weight in the world off of my shoulders. And if you remember, Paul talking to the Galatians and everywhere Paul preached, said, why are you trying to put the new church, the Judaizers came in and tried to put the law back, putting the people under the bondage of the law once again, trying to mix Judaism, keeping the law, and mix that with grace. Paul said, why would you do that? Said, your forefathers couldn't keep that law, and why are you trying to put a yoke about the neck of these new Christians? Said, why are you doing that? Said, we gave no such commandment. We didn't tell you to do that. And if you can understand that, man, it will just absolutely set you free. It'll set you free. You'll quit worrying about it. Now, the Bible says there's some things that we can know, and some folks are pretty hard-headed about it. A lot of folks are hard-headed about it. You get settled into some doctrine where you got to live it to keep it, and you get mad at somebody that tries to tell you that it's all God's grace. They resent you. Just like the Jews. Man, they had the oracles of God. They had the law. And what is this thing about grace? You know, they were trusting in their religion, their religious fervor, and keeping the law. And they were under bondage. And now, I know people who you couldn't... You could tell them to look outside right now, and you could tell them, hey, it's sunshining out there, and they'd disagree with you. If they had it in their head that it was dark out there, man, and that's the human heart, the human mind, and psyche. We resist. We'll get settled on something, and we no longer have a teachable spirit, and we'll resist light. We'll resist truth. Look at the political division in our country, cultural division in our country, and folks that believe totally contrary to what I believe really are sincere in their belief that they're right, and no amount of proof will convince them. The truth don't convince a lot of people. But a lot of minds already made up, and you got to watch out for that. Whenever you read that book, you better go to that book understanding that you're looking at absolute eternal truth, and whatever preconceived idea you have about it needs to be subject to change. Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and some folks know that and some don't. Nicodemus told the Lord one night, said, well, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles except God be with him. I mean, he knew that much. But some people insist that you got to prove it to them. Remember Naaman? The Lord miraculously healed Naaman, if you remember that story. And after he'd healed Naaman, Naaman said this, said, behold, now... because of that, you know, I'm healed now. I know that there is no God in all earth but in Israel. So God had to prove it to him. He wasn't sure. Now he went there in faith based upon the testimony of some little Israeli maid who was a captive. She must have had quite some credibility with that house for him to go all that way and based on her say-so. Look at Thomas. Thomas was one of those who you had to show. You had to prove it to him. Other disciples told Thomas they had seen the Lord. Thomas said, yeah, right. He was one of the disciples. He said, maybe he did, maybe he didn't. John 20:25, Thomas said, except I see in his hand the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Got to prove it to me. That's why he's referred to as Doubting Thomas. And after 8 days, it says, again, his disciples were within and Thomas with him. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, stood in the midst, and says, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. He said, you got to believe it. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Light came on, didn't it? But God had to prove it to him. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Wow. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. How about you? Does God have to prove everything to you this morning? Without faith. You know, we'll have a great debates about creation. The scientific crowd, falsely so-called, will debate this thing and bring up this and that. That's because they don't have any faith. When God says in the beginning, God and created the heaven and the earth, I believe it. He don't have to prove it to me. He don't have to show me every little detail of how he did it, how it came about. If God says, I believe it. Like the bumper, I've told this over the years. It used to be a bumper sticker. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Anybody ever see those bumpers? Well, if God said it, it settles it whether you believe it or not. It's settled. So God wants us and gives us through his word the facts that we can know. We can know some things. Jesus Christ is not just a concept. He's a living Savior. He ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. He's in an exalted position, seated at the right hand of the Father. He's our advocate. And just as Job here said that he knew that his Redeemer lived, I know that my Redeemer liveth. So you can also know that Jesus Christ lives. And because he lives, our life is in him. As long as he lives, we live. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. He's alive. Because he's alive, we're alive. He's a quickening spirit. That means he's a spirit that makes alive. Bible says there's some things you can know. What does it mean to know something? Well, Noah Webster defines the word know as to perceive with certainty, to understand clearly, and to have a clear and certain perception of truth, fact, or anything that actually exists. It's real. To be informed of, to be taught. It's not unusual for us to say that we know things from information when we rely on the veracity of the one doing the informing, giving us that information. Well, how much credibility does God have with you? If God says it, it'd be nice to just believe it. To know a thing precludes all doubt or uncertainty of its existence. Paul said this, 2 Timothy 1:12, he said, for I know whom I have believed. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded. Watch it. That he is able to keep. Don't say, I know I'm able to hang on to it. He don't say that. I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him. Wow. That ought to set you free. That should set you free. And he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. That cast us out a lot of fear. Paul didn't have any doubt. He knew whom he believed. He was persuaded that Jesus Christ was able to keep him. He just believed it. He knew it. If you're here today, you're saved, you should know that you have eternal life. Because God tells you that you do. The Lord tells you that you do. If we don't believe, he's the judge. Paul said in Romans 2:16, said, in that day when the secrets of men shall be revealed. Judge is how's that worded? By Jesus Christ. He's the judge. According to my gospel. That's a pretty interesting verse, because that helps you to understand that you stick with the Pauline epistles in this age for your salvation, because that's what you're going to be judged by. Not going to be judged by what Peter preaching to the Jews. You're going to be judged, Paul said, according to my gospel. And where did he get that from? Jesus Christ gave him what to preach to the church in this age. All right, I don't want to get sidetracked there. But Webster said that we know things from information when we rely on the veracity of the informer. Is it the truth? The veracity of something, the truthfulness of something, is that the reality of it? Is that the truth? What did Peter understand about his salvation? What did he know? He said this, he said, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, that body of flesh, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. And then he said in 1 Peter 1, 4, he said that earlier, he said, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven. Reserved in heaven for you. You got your reservation in? Who's going to cancel it for you? Who made the reservation? Jesus Christ. Who has authority to hold that reservation? Jesus Christ. Job knew, Paul knew, Peter knew. In fact, Paul not only knew he was saved, but he also was persuaded that the Lord was able to keep that which he had committed unto him. See, Paul believed what the Lord had said. Okay, now, John 17:12, the Bible says this. And the Lord in his high priestly prayer, this is the Lord in his, which is, in reality, actually the Lord's prayer, his high priestly prayer to his heavenly Father in John 17. And he says, those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Are you the son of perdition? No? Well, then he's kept you. None of them is lost. Lord makes a reservation, nobody can cancel it. Listen, that King of Glory, the moment you trusted Jesus Christ, that King of Glory wrote your name down in that Lamb's Book of Life. And then the Bible says, and we are sealed at that moment until the day of redemption. Now, what's that have to do with anything? Well, it says we're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Esther 8:8. I just like this verse. I'll take it out of context because it fits this context. Write ye also for the Jews, as I liken you, in the king's name. You write it down in the king's name and seal it with the king's ring. For the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring may no man reverse. Wow. Wow. That's pretty exciting. You couldn't save yourself, you can't keep yourself. Jesus said this, John 10:27. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. How long is that? How long is never? I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And some folks will take it to the extent to try to prove that they can lose it, and you've got to live it, and I've got to have a part in it. They'll say, well, a fella can jump out of his hand. Anybody ever heard that? Duh, what's that talking about? You're going to jump out of the Father's hand. You got a long road there. Just believe what he says. Says eternal life, believe that it's eternal life. Peter said, we in 1 Peter 1:5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Ecclesiastes 3:14, he said, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nothing taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. It's all God. It's all God doing the saving. It's all God doing the keeping. Man always feels that he's got to have a hand in it. Man, God can't do it on his own. I got to help him out now. I've got to give him some help with this thing. Do you? The Bible says, vain is the help of man. Duh. Sorry to throw that in. That's Psalm 60:11. Vain is the help of man. You know, when I was a little boy, sometimes I'd try to help my dad. He'd be working on something. And I'd be jumping in there trying to help him do things. And I really thought that I was helping him. You've had your kids do that. You'll be doing something. They'll be helping you do it, and you encourage them, and they really think they're doing something. And it wasn't until I was a little older that I figured out that I was really just in his way. Nineteen years ago, when I came to this church to pastor, Phil Gabbard said, "Just keep out of God's way." Because I found the more that I tried to help God, I was most of the time just in his way. I was a stumbling block. But I found that God really don't need my help. He just needs my submission and obedience. Let him direct me. And you ask the average Christian today, you ask the average Christian, well, are you saved? And I heard this just in the last week. Well, I hope I am. See, they've been taught wrong. So, well, I hope so. And then I've heard people say, well, you can't really know for sure. Why not? Sure you can. According to the Bible, John said this. 1 John 5:13 said, these things have I written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And you might believe on the name of the Son of God. So John said, yeah, you can know. I wrote these things. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Wow. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. If you don't know you're saved, then why not? Why don't you know that? Most of the time we doubt God because we don't spend enough time with him. We don't spend time in the book. We don't put ourselves under the preaching or the teaching of the Word of God. We don't hang out with other Spirit-filled Christians, and all of a sudden doubt moves in, and we don't know anything. We neglect prayer. We neglect reading of the Word of God. We neglect assembling ourselves together with other Christians, and you're going to doubt. It's only natural. Paul said we are those that have no confidence in the flesh. Don't get in your head that you can't doubt. The flesh is capable of doubting. It's capable of anything. That's why the Lord admonishes us to walk in the Spirit. You walk in the light as he is in the light. You walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Another problem we have is that some Christians have never put their faith to the test. You've never proved the Lord. Remember David? Man, they was going to put all that armor of Saul on him. And he said, man, I've never used this. I don't know about this stuff. Let me take what I know works for me. He said, I haven't proved them. Malachi 3:10, and the context here is giving, but boy, it sure works in every area of the Christian walk. Said, prove me herewith. You try me out. You prove me herewith and see. You try me out. Prove me with and see if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing there's not room enough to receive. I encourage you to do that. And boy, and I've had this talk with folks over giving stuff. I said, if it's hard for you to do that, try God out. Experiment with him a little bit. Try him a little bit. He said, prove me herewith. If I will not open the windows of heaven. Another place he says, oh, taste and see that God is good. Try him out. Get a little taste. Get a little taste. And, you know, God's long-suffering. God will put up with a lot of your things you don't know. You just try him out. He wants you. He says, come unto me. Try him out. If you doubt your salvation, if you're not sure about your salvation, you know, put it to the test. And hopefully God will just, you'll learn to just trust in what God says. I just went through salvation with a 7-year-old boy this morning. I'm going to baptize him. And one of the things we talked about, when that verse said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Don't say you might be. Don't say hopefully you'll be saved. Said you shall be saved. Then we talked about a holy God who cannot lie. But that by two immutable things, and that it was impossible. It's impossible. It is impossible for God to lie. Numbers 23:19 said, God is not a man that he should lie. Neither the son of man that he should repent. He don't change his mind. Don't lie. He won't back up on you. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? So I said, you can trust God on it because of his own holiness. In fact, the Bible says, God is faithful, and even though we doubt, said, if we believe not, God is faithful and cannot deny himself. So if that flesh starts to doubt, you just trust God because he's faithful and he cannot deny himself. He has to do what he said he'll do because of his own holiness. Man, that should set you free. I mean, God is not like your first husband. Why am I going there? Let me move on. Verily, verily, John, Jesus said this. Well, first of all, you go to the Word of God to see if you've done what God has told you to do. All right? Jesus said, John 5:24, verily, verily, I send you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And there's a lot there. He that heareth my word, you hear the word, then you believe it. And he gives you eternal life. He don't say, well, I'll keep you alive as long as you do this, that, and that, and the other. He says you have eternal life, and you shall not come into condemnation. Do you believe that? Then why are you worried about losing it? If that verse just said you shall not come into condemnation. Is that how it reads? He that heareth my word, believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Remember that verse that said he ever liveth to make intercession? He makes intercession for the saints. If that verse there wasn't true, that you shall not come into condemnation, that would mean that Jesus Christ would have failed as your intercessor. You see where that goes? You see that slippery slope? You have to deny the efficacy of the intercession of Jesus Christ. Well, I know he can do a lot of stuff, but boy, he just can't. That intercession for me, he don't know. I don't know. I've done some stupid stuff, and these things have been written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. All right. How about the Philippian jailer? He asked Paul and Silas, now let's put this in context. This guy's a Gentile, just like you are. Now over there in Acts 2, you've got a nation of Israel, corporately all these Jews gathered, said that at that time in Judea were gathered devout Jews from every nation. So all the Jews gathered together. They just crucified their Savior, their Messiah. They'd crucified him, and they go to Peter and they say, oh, now what are we going to do? What shall we do? Us, what do we the Jews do now? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins, and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now over, that's the Jew corporately. Now we look here, that's nothing. That's not a lost sinner falling on his face saying, what must I do to be saved? The Philippian jailer, he fell down, and what's he say? He was a Gentile following the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He fell down trembling and said, what must I do to be saved? That was me. That's you. Acts 16:31, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. They didn't say you might be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's a good possibility you might get saved. That isn't what he said. They said, thou shalt be saved. They even said, and thy house. You know, the next thing they did, they went over to that fellow's house, and everyone in the house believed on it. They preached to him. All right. John 1:12. And the context there, before that, he talks about the Jew. He came to the Jew, and they rejected him. They said he came into his own. That's a Jew. And his own received him not. The Jew said, nope. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. They received him. Wow. When I dealt with little Aubrey this morning, I said, with Jesus Christ, you've got a giver, Jesus Christ, and you've got a receiver. He's got a gift. For the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ is here wanting to give you something, willing to give you something, and all you have to do is receive it. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, a giver and a receiver. Here in the verse, it defines receiving him as believing on his name. Isn't that what it says? But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Watch it. Even to them that believe on his name. Wow. Even to those who believe on his name. Have you received him? Sometimes I'll use the term embrace. You embraced the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. How that Christ died for your sins, according to the scripture, was buried and rose again the third day. You embraced that for yourself. You appropriate it personally by believing on it. What's the problem? The problem is we think it's too simple. Remember Naaman? Hey, Elisha sent his servant down and said, go tell that guy to just go wash in Jordan seven times. And here's a guy with a motorcade sitting out front. The host, the captain of the host of Syria, he's a big deal, big important dude sitting outside. And the prophet probably sitting there eating a sandwich and sends his servant, go tell him to go wash in Jordan seven times. Naaman got mad. Didn't want to do it. Wash in Jordan. Said he wouldn't even come and see me and tell me to wash in Jordan. Said, aren't the rivers of Pharpar and whatever much better than the Jordan? What's that all about? And then his servant, who's that Gehazi? I forget it. Servant's name, said, Master, if he had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? If he told you to do all this, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, if he told you to do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? And that's the attitude we take. Unless it's a whole bunch of stuff that I got to do, it's just sounds too easy. What'd he do? Well, so I guess you're right. He goes down, washes seven times, and he's cured of his leprosy. Picks a type of sin. And that's how we are. Well, it don't make a lot of sense. It ought to be more complicated than that. Wow. 2 Corinthians 11:3, but I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. The fellow said, well, I don't know. The Bible says even the devils believe and tremble. Well, first of all, the Bible says that the devils believe there is one God. Isn't that what it says? James 2:19, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. What the Lord said. And then over in Mark, there's a story of a man in the tombs with an unclean spirit. Unclean spirits recognized the Lord for who he was. We'll just get down and see what the book says about that. It says in Mark 5:7, and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High? So they recognized the Lord. I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said to them, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. But you know, the only thing that I can conclude here is nowhere in the Word of God does it ever say that devils and unclean spirits are candidates for salvation. You are. So don't try to equate the two. Talk yourself out of this thing. The Bible says, John 20:31, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that ye might have life through his name. I've talked about this verse before over the years. Turn to John chapter 6, and I'll be done. John chapter 6, the Lord's having a conversation with Peter over losing some followers there in John chapter 6. And then notice that Simon Peter said something very interesting down about verse 69. John 6, 69. Peter said this. He said, we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Do you catch the order? What came first? The belief. What came next? The assurance. America says, you prove it to me and I'll believe it. The Jew says, you prove it to me, you show me a sign, I'll believe it. God says, you believe it and then I'll prove it to you. That's the order. Without faith. I had a conversation with one of my cousins, and man, he's pretty intellectual, well-read, and he is going to that Bible trying to figure out whether God was who he said he was. And I said, listen, you go to that book and tell you, and with the attitude that God's got to prove it to you, good luck. You believe him, then he'll prove it to you. Belief comes first. So how do you have life through his name? By believing. According to Romans 10, it's a heart belief. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. You can know about him and not know him. But if you've done what God told you to do, if you believed on the name of Jesus Christ, then you also can know that ye have eternal life. And read three verses here. Job said, for I know, that's our text this morning, I know that my Redeemer liveth and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Revelation 1:18, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. These things I've written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Heavenly Father, fill our hearts with the knowledge today of your salvation, and let us accept it without doubting, knowing that you're able to keep that which we've committed unto you, Lord, as Paul said. And give us that peace and assurance that comes along with that, Lord, and that liberty in Christ, knowing that we are kept by the power of God. And we're thankful for that great gift, Lord. And be with us today and fill our hearts with a love and a worship toward you, Lord. And be with the worship service and give us open hearts and open minds and teachable spirits. And let us grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Savior. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And for his sake, amen. All right, take a break.